Good morning. Today is Wednesday, October the 14th, 284th day of the new year. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County Supervisor and still Chairman.
That's right.
Yeah, but we're winding down with Steph Fennell. Oh, boy. You still having fun being in charge of the whole thing?
Yeah, I do. It's kind of fun. You know, it's definitely an interesting part of the process, and I like it.
You kind of strike me as a power-hungry gal.
Oh, yeah, right. That'd be me.
Oh, boy. Our quote this morning comes from General Bruce Clark. Mm. Sometime between 1901 and 1964 said, quote, "When things go wrong in your command, start searching for the reason in increasingly large circles around your own desk."
Good one.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So...
Yeah, well, that's what generals have to do.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about this medicinal marijuana. It's not only that you guys talked about it yesterday. It seems to me like either it's really simple or it's like mercury. And I'm not sure which side I'm really banking on. The simple side, you got the wineries. Okay. Mm-hmm. It starts with a different letter, but the concept's pretty much the same. And the other side says, but look how screwed up it is in Oregon and Washington and Colorado. Maybe just taking the winery example isn't the best thing. So when you guys were talking about it yesterday, what was the gist of what are you trying to, are you starting to kind of try to combine and restrict and kind of push this thing into a workable form?
That's exactly right. You hit it. Right on the head there, Brian. I think, you know, we got a draft back from staff, and it seemed to be going in that more mercurial direction, if you will. It was pretty restrictive. Our goal is to make it possible for people who, you know, actually are and, you know, care about the environment and are involved in their community, to make it possible for them to go ahead and make a business out of this.
Now, the growing side or the retail side?
All of it. We're just dealing with the retail, the growing side of it now, the cultivation. So this just deals with cultivation, and so our goal is to make the regulations good enough that they actually will protect the environment, and at the same time that they're not so restrictive that nobody's going to do them. Because then what you're going to have is a black market.
That's what we have now.
Exactly. And, you know, after all that, that's not what we need. So I think that was the gist of our discussion yesterday was, please, let's get somewhere where it'll be easy enough for us to enforce and easy enough for people who want to comply to come into compliance. And then those people who don't care would be a lot more easily identified.
Now, I know that you're familiar with a lot of the growers just over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, all of them have been operating outside of the law.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it is ironic to me, you know where I'm going with it, that this group of outlaws, whether they're well-intended or not, are concerned about operating within the legal parameters all of a sudden. What percentage of compliance do you honestly, you got intuition, think will occur in this? Because we're not talking about the commercial guys for recreational. We're talking about the medicinal, and that's a different segment.
Yeah. Well, it's hard to predict, Brian. Honestly, what I would say is it's not going to happen overnight. I see it happening over a process of several years. Eventually, it actually will. We will have more compliance. At the beginning, I don't know, 5-10% of people will be coming in. Remember, it's not just the people who are willing to come into compliance. It's the process there to actually bring them into compliance. I mean, and this was one of our concerns. If you make it that you have to have a conditional use permit for a pretty small garden, everybody in the world is going to be going before the Planning Commission. How many of those are they going to pass? So we need to make it so that we can make it happen and it's easy enough for them to come into compliance. So I'm not going to put a figure on it. I don't want to do that, but I will say it's a question of time.
It's 8:19.
Perfect.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for some place different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. Talk shop presented by Redec and by CDH Painting. Estelle, the concept of the medicinal marijuana is still kind of an intriguing one for a lot of us because mm-hmm. of that dichotomy, legal California, not legal national. So do you have any assurances that the work that you folks are doing now is not going to get blown out of the water in 2 months or in a year in 2 months or whenever? It still seems very goofy, I guess, is the simplest term.
Well, I understand what you're saying, Brian, but the thing is that now we have the governor of California having signed that basic marijuana law.
The stuff last Friday.
So I think what we're passing now is something that is in compliance with that, and if not, a bit stricter. So I think that, you know, if the federal government comes after us, maybe they'll pick Jerry Brown and not Estelle Fennell.
That's right. Your signature's on it, isn't it? Congratulations.
So I think that, honestly, we have to do something. I mean, the sheriff himself has said, you know, we just have to do something. Because honestly, if we stand back, we're going to be overrun. We've already been overrun by people who really don't care anything about this community or our environment. So we're doing the best we can. If the federal government wants to tell us we're doing something wrong, then, you know, I guess we'll have to handle that. My guess is, even I don't know who's going to be president, you know, a year and a half from now, but bottom line, I think they're going to be seeing that it's basically a tidal wave. You can't put the genie back in the bottle using tons and tons of
bad
similes
metaphors,
now, right? I know, but honestly, I don't think you can. And so how do we make it work? And that's one of the things that Assemblyman Wood is working on. Come January, there are a couple of bills that they'll be looking at for taxation and for banking. Because that's really where the feds come in big time, is the banking aspect of it.
Yeah, I know it's kind of jacked up for those folks, not being able to process through. And I don't mm-hmm. think you want to make, well, I wouldn't mind making 20 trips a day with, what, $9,500 each trip. I could, yeah.
Yeah, but you're going to be.
I can spend my day in a lot less productive ways. So just say that.
I would say, however, you might be charged with structuring at that point, which is a really tricky thing. So, in other words, you would be trying to avoid a federal.
I know the intent, yeah.
Yeah.
Is there any validity to the thought that the medicinal marijuana, once in place, becomes a template then for recreational marijuana?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's what everybody is looking at. Let's be honest. This is setting the state up for a system of regulations that whatever is passed will have to go be in concert with. So, in other words, it's positioning the state to deal with whatever might come out of the November 16 election. Now, what it does, and it's really interesting, you know, having covered this as a journalist for years and years and years and seen how the whole thing with Proposition 215 unfold, it's very interesting to see that people have been making money off of this for a long time, Brian. They said they were growing for medicinal purposes. There was no profit involved, but obviously there was.
Really?
You can make a profit on it. You can have a business, but now you've got to follow a whole bunch of regulations, but you will be just like any other business at a certain point.
I've never had anybody tell me with a straight face that they're not making money.
Yeah, exactly.
So with the regulations and the regulatory climate that's going to be, and framework that's going to be put into effect, does it become taxable?
Oh, absolutely.
Do they have health standards.
Yes.
OSHA standards.
Yes.
All these other things that
yes.
other retailers
mm-hmm.
have to abide by. Yep. That all kicks in at the...
A chock-a-block.
I guess the pharmacy or the retail end of this
mm-hmm.
thing.
Yeah, comes in. So with the state regulatory process, there you know, there are several things now that you can and cannot do. First of all, you can grow it. You can produce, you know, clean it after that and prepare it.
Harvest is the phrase, I believe.
No, you harvest, but then you trim it.
Refine it.
Okay, yeah. And then there are other things that can be done to it, like manufacturing goodies out of it.
Rendering or
yeah.
whatever. Yeah.
So you can have the cultivator, you can have the processor, you can have the manufacturer, you can have the distributor. And the retailers.
And all of those are regulated.
Those are all regulated and different regulations. And there will be OSHA standards for those people that are doing the trimming after it's harvested.
Yeah, I know. Sharp tools. If not a sharp mind. Just kind of leave it there. Is there concern with this? Boy, I just lost it. It was in the manager. Oh, with the THC, the labeling
yes.
of this stuff. Is
yes,
that
that's
part of... Either Woods or the counties?
The Bonta one. It's all the state. There's all of that part
okay.
of the regulatory process with
so
the state.
So there is going to be some mm-hmm. thing there making the allowances for the THC.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's all that is state. All we're going to be dealing with is land use cultivation and land use regulation, which is the cultivation and the business licensing, those kind of things. Everything else, and then, you know, the state, as in, for instance, the Regional Water Quality Control Board will be dealing with setbacks from streams, water management, waste discharge, all those things. So
they're the ones that are going to have the guns. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:30. We'll be back with more from Estelle Fennell.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Estelle Fennell. In addition to marijuana. Yeah, boy, talk about beating a dead horse.
Yeah, I know. Well, you know, it's actually...
But it has to be done.
It has to be done, and it's going to the Planning Commission now November 5th, and then it'll be coming back to us in January, and hopefully we'll take care of it, and we will be able to talk about something else.
Are the adjacent counties doing comparable things?
No.
Because they don't see the need to, or they're just not able to handle it?
I think some may be watching what we're doing. Mendocino already has some regulations in place, like that 25-plant program. I don't know what they're going to do now to go in tandem with the state regulations. So we'll see how that goes. There'll be some counties that will say flat out, you can't grow in our county, you know.
But
so that's
none of the counties.
None of
adjacent
the six counties.
To,
no.
Yeah.
No. But yeah. So that we're in to that regard, we are cutting edge, and that's okay.
Guess it's better than the trimming edge. I mean, you used all the bad ones. Now I, you know,
yeah, right.
Have the really
ahead.
Bad ones to play with.
No.
So yeah, if we're dealing with that, I would suppose, you know, it's not a large leap to talk about the situation with the county roads and the infrastructure and the gas tax and,
well, no, not
and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's intriguing that things that have been ignored are suddenly being paid attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So with that as a setup, what was being presented to the board yesterday about either a sales tax, a gas tax, a whatever tax to help out with the paving the roads, the in the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure in the county?
Well, this came to us from Supervisor Sundberg, who's our representative on the Humboldt County Association of Government, HCOG. And he really wanted to get a sense of the board with regard to a request from staff at HCOG to spend $30,000 on a study of whether or not to bring a special tax before the voters for transportation in Humboldt County. So my first
reaction, is this public transportation?
Transportation of general transportation infrastructure. It could
roads?
Be anything. Yeah, it could be roads, definitely.
And pavement, yeah. Tom Atson stuff?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
So what the argument in favor of this special tax is that if a county does in fact go ahead with a special tax, they kind of go up a notch in the view of the state with regard to disbursement of funding, and so we might have better luck at getting bigger chunks of money. But there's another thing we could do with it, which is we could just say, look, ask the voters, what would they support most? Just giving us some money to fix the roads? Or do we want it to be used as matching funds for bigger grants or whatever? And so the idea is, if we put the study out, we get an idea of what the voters would like. We then, if the idea is that maybe they would support a tax, then it would go before the voters in November of 2016, during the presidential general election, which is always a much better turnout than usual. What is important about this is that a special tax requires a 66% of the voters, and
because
that's
it's designated.
A high bar. Yes, it's designated funding, so that's a pretty high bar. So,
but it's also legit.
Yeah,
I think somehow that one is legit. If we're stupid enough to pass it,
mm-hmm.
Okay, fine. There's plurality in the stupidity.
Well,
Danny,
whole thing was, you know, here we are, where I feel a lot of, I feel the community is feeling overburdened with that kind of thing at this stage. I'll be very interested to see if there is support. I said I would actually probably take a bet that there wasn't, but I don't know. Maybe I'll be proved wrong. So my thought was, why would we want to spend $30,000 to find out what we kind of know already? But their idea was, well, it's better to so my idea was, let's just put it on the ballot and see how people vote. But
or in the spring, if you want, as an advisory.
But anyway, okay, bottom line, no, we have to do it this way. And I finally wound up supporting the idea of spending that $30,000 only because I was assured that couldn't have been spent on the roads anyway. So
you capitulated.
Yeah. So
does that mean your price is $30,000?
No, it doesn't. Oh, my God. No, it's not at all. I mean, honestly, I got to tell you, Brian, it made sense to me. We would have to spend a lot more to put it on the ballot, and let's at least find out if there is support for it without going into that expense.
It's intriguing for me because the fuel tax is supposed to be going there.
Oh, that's the other
now,
thing
I know
we talked
it's
about.
Been hijacked and mm-hmm. run with, and we got the eco-groovy cars now that are getting 5,000 miles to the gallon, and then you got the electric guys mm-hmm. that aren't paying anything. Okay. I would think, and again, trying to be simplistic in everything, a toll road. Period.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, those that are on the road and using the main drag, there you go.
Yeah, that's what they do in the East a lot.
Yeah, and it's not then, are you a resident or you're not a resident?
Mm-hmm.
It's whoever's using the road and whoever's using the road more often. And do something like, you know, the frequent flyer pass, you know, for the guys that are out there an awful lot, kind of like, you know, the fast track stuff that the Bay Area has. And it takes care of it. And it's not another tax.
Where would you put it, like on the safety corridor?
You're asking me personally? Yeah, I would put... Now, you got to watch out for the drive-arounds, though, because
mm-hmm.
you probably have some people doing that. But you really can't drive around 101 from Fortuna into Eureka
mm-hmm.
without wings or rudders on your ship. Okay. You're right. The one from the north is a little bit more problematic because mm-hmm. there's three ways.
Yeah.
And you would certainly need to include Well, maybe you wouldn't. Maybe you wouldn't. Maybe it would be a McKinleyville North, and you know, it's because it's going to be a pass through anyway if the commercial rigs are doing it. But it just seems kind of goofy that some of these things have been put in place. They're not going to be repealed. Well, we're just going to whip something else out there instead of figuring out a way to get those monies and direct them where they belong rather than being siphoned off into other areas.
Well, and that's why the argument kind of got me to that place where I could give a reluctant yes on the $30,000 study. We will learn what the support level is for it. And we'll also learn what people would support, because we can say, you know, as a general rule, if there's 66% or there should be more in the poll, there should practically be like 75%, because people lie. And then...
Really?
Once in a while.
Okay.
And so, you know, so you want to say, yeah, okay, there's 75% for a tax that would go purely for fixing the roads. And I bet you something like that might go, well, so then you go, okay, that's what we're going to put the special tax for. Or there's 75% of people who say they would support a tax that we use to for buses, you know, or whatever. So that's...
How about a special district?
Mm-hmm. That's another way to go.
And then there's no chance. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah.
Okay, you know where I am. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:44. We'll be back with more from Estelle.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop with Estelle Fennell. Estelle, if people want to get involved with this, because it's not really Taxpayers League kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's no advisory group for this kind of stuff, but it seems to me, whether it's with the marijuana stuff or whether it's with this study, is that the county is scraping for ideas to do things.
Yes.
Yeah, and we can debate about the overall economic health of the county or not. But is there a place for people to go if they do have ideas or want to get engaged a little bit so that they can get informed to make a couple of rational suggestions, whether it's on this or that, doesn't really matter the topic. Is there an avenue for that if they don't know one of you five personally?
Well, that tends to be the way it happens. Well, you know, we try with the website. There's a, you know, back and forth on the website that you can use. You can go to HCOG to talk about transportation issues, go to the meetings to come out. And just always, really, honestly, if you've got a good idea, please talk to me or one of my colleagues, because I'm telling you, to me, the only way we can get anything done is by working with each other, you know, by community and government involvement. I just don't think we can solve all of these issues. We're dealing, and I said this at the meeting yesterday, you know, with regards to the transportation tax, you know, we have a lot of money in California. We're just not getting it here. And so you've got the state with a lot of money, and they're saying, well, if you show some kind of, you know, interest in solving your own problems, will kick you some more money down. But we have to do that first. So, you know, that's where we're at. And if anybody's got any good ideas, Brian, please give us a call. Let us know.
It doesn't have to do with legalization, right? Yeah, okay. It all gets back to economic.
Economic
stimulation.
And who knows what's going to happen?
Let's get folks.
People have said that this will, in some way, make, you know, increase the tax revenue in Humboldt County. Speaking of legalization, maybe that'll happen. Who knows? I don't know what the economy is going to look like. I sure hope that we can make it better.
I think pretty soon you're going to just worry about what spring's going to look like. Click. Okay. And with that, we're out of here. Thanks for coming by. We've been Talking Shop with Estelle Fennell. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone, you'll see you then.